כיסיתי למלחום על אויביך, ומשונאי השם בלקח בידיך ושביס השוויון. So the pasuk says here that somebody goes out to melchome unesone Hashem lekecha biyadecha v'shavis ha-shivyei. And then it unravels the parsha of Yifas Toya. It's a big machloikas in the particulars of how Yifas Toya works, whether when the geiris exactly is done, but clearly there's a process of a conversion. Can't marry a shiksa. It's a shaila about them. If you could marry her in the milchama, you could have a bi rishon in the milchama. Shaila in the Gemara Kedushin. But ultimately, the process that the Torah gives us over here is a geiris process. It's a geiris process. So Rashi comes and Rashi says clearly, b'milchemes rishus hakosav medaber. He says, this is talking about only in Melchemes Rishus. Shebe Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, Ein loyma v'shavis ha-shivyo shekvar nema b'shivu humeis l'ischaye kol nesham. It's an interesting Rashi. There's a lot of difficulties on this Rashi. I'm just going to point out one of them. It is true that any Melchome to conquer Eretz Yisrael, the Shiva Amamim, is defined in Aloch as a Melchemes Mitzvah. That's one criteria for Melchemes Mitzvah. But Melchemes Mitzvah has many criteria. And they're not accumulatively, they're not criteria that are required to have them jointly. Each one alone is enough to make it a Melchemes Mitzvah. So for instance, we spoke about this when we gave a shiur on the inyan of giving back land in Eretz Yisrael, which unfortunately again is Negei Anochamol. And I suspect that until Mashiach Tzidkenu will come and we'll have the Gula Shleim, it's always going to be, we'll be busy with this. So amongst the Shilas we discussed about giving back land was, if you remember, some of you may remember by the Shir, I isolated the fact that it was Eretz Yisrael. We went through a whole thing about giving back land in Eretz Yisrael. Then we discussed about giving back land to in any place in the world, to Goyim, where you have a Jewish population. And I brought a raya from the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos. The halacha is that if you have bandits that came on a city, so the halacha depends. If they came al iskei momon, if they came just because they want money, so based on the Sugyan Erevin, many of you remember this from the Daf Yomi, and the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if it's monetary, you're not allowed to machal Shabbos. Can't be Mechal Shabbos because it's not a Sakonis Nefoshos. But if they came for Nefoshos, then you could be Mechal Shabbos, obviously. Then you go out and you fight war against them. Mechal Shabbos. The Gemara says in Erevin, it's Kepaskin in the Shulchan Aruch, that if it's a Ir al Asapar, Ir al Yesheves al Asapar, if it's a city on the border, then even if they came al Iskei Momon, it's called Pikuach Nefoshos. And the reason for that is because halachically, if the enemy is coming closer to where you are, that alone, by definition, is pikuach nefoshes. Even if the enemy doesn't have the guns sticking out, pointed at you, the definition in halacha of the enemy being brought closer to where you are, where the Yiddish Yishuv is, now that has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. That's a din in the whole world. That's all over. So that being the case, I wanted a taina that if there's Palestinian territory, and you have bordering Jewish territory, settlements, whatever it is, and you bring those goyim, those Palestinians closer, so by definition, that's a sakonas nefoshes. It's an halacha. You want a machal Shabbos for it. So that was one of the sforas I brought down, why it's not so simple to just give back land, because besides for analyzing it from a strategic standpoint, we have a halacha, we have a Shulchan Aruch, that gives us a guide. I'm not saying it's the end of all things here. When you have a negotiated settlement, you can argue, it's arguable, that a negotiated settlement is different than this. So I'm not telling you it's 100% rock solid. But what's negated to what I'm asking you over here, halachically, that's defined as a melchemes mitzvah. The Rambam writes, lahatzil Yisrael miyatzah is a melchemes mitzvah. To save a Jew from an enemy is a melchemes mitzvah. If you're conquering land just to broaden your territory, that's not a melchemes mitzvah, necessarily. It's not necessarily a melchemes mitzvah. But if you're going to save Jews, that's by definition melchemes mitzvah. So that makes Rashi by us very difficult to understand. Because Rashi is telling us, this parasha is only talking about melchemes rishus. Not melchemes mitzvah. Sounds like the holy fast Torah is not shaykh by melchemes mitzvah. But then Rashi gives us a basis. Why? And the basis that Rashi gives us is halachically difficult to understand. Because Rashi says, because the only other choice would be melchemes mitzvah, which you mean the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael, and you're not allowed to keep them alive. So you can't capture them. That's Rashi's objection. So what I'm tying to you is that, what do you mean? It could be Stama Mulchoma, Lahatzul Yisrael Miyatzol, not the Shiva Amimim. So there's no din of Los Chaya Kol Neshama. You could keep them alive. So here you have both. You have a Mulchemes Mitzvah, and it's not one of the seven nations. Rashi makes like we have no place to go. Can't be a Mulchemes Mitzvah. So what I'm trying to say is that although it's true that usually when we're talking about a Melchemes Mitzvah, we're talking about conquering Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, but there seems to be a blank rule in Chazal that Melchemes Mitzvah is not what we're talking about. Which I would suggest, it sounds like, Yifas Torah would not apply even if it happens to be the Melchemes you're doing is a mitzvah because you're saving Jews, Yifas Torah would not apply. Even though it would be possible to have a Shavisa Shivyoi, still, your fast Torah would not apply. I want to know why not. That's number one. Number two, as we go on over here, Rashi brings down v'lokachto l'chol ha'isha. Because the Torah says, v'ro'isa ba'shivya ha'ishas yifas Torah. The Torah says you could then, there's a process for v'choshakto ba'v'lokachto l'chol ha'isha. And there's a process of how to marry this woman. And the process is actually halachically acceptable. Right? So Rashi brings down the Chazal. This is very rare that we have such a parasha in the Torah. Usually either something is usur or something is mutter. Something is usur, it's mutter. But to tell me that the Torah must matter something that's not really mutter, that's what Rashi does. Rashi brings down the Chazal. Lo yidibro Torah elo keneged yetzer hara. Rashi says this is not going to be a bias neman be Yisrael. That's what Rashi basically says. But Rashi says the only reason why the Torah permitted is like the Torah connected to Torah. So I don't follow exactly. If the pshat is that the Torah wants us to do it in order so we shouldn't go ahead and listen to the Yetzer Hara. So then really, what the Torah is doing is not telling us a solution against the Yetzer Hara. The Torah is really giving us a solution that we should listen to the Yetzer Hara. It's not really an alternative. The Torah is really saying, you know what, you have a Yetzer Hara? This is too big of a Yetzer Hara. So the Torah says, that's how you learn Rashi basic. Elementary, that's how we would learn Rashi. Rashi is basically saying is, you're confronted with this monster Yetzer Hara. So the Torah said, you know what? We're letting you do something which really you shouldn't be doing. You really shouldn't be doing. So like I said, I have two questions. Number one, that sounds like we're not going against the Yetzer Hara, we're going in zinc with the Yetzer Hara. Basically the Torah said, you know what? Over here we'll let you listen to the Yetzer Hara because we don't feel you could win the Yetzer Hara. Which is what I've said in the past of Chatzkel Abramsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he used to give a shiur in his house Friday night to secular college students. And what they would do is they would read the parasha. He would sit down with them together and read and try to bring something for Kiruv. And there were boys that became from just from that shiur that he used to learn with them Friday night. So the story goes that the Parshas Kisetze, this week's parasha, they came over and he didn't prepare for it. Chatzkel Abramsky, the Gadol Hador, didn't have to prepare to learn Chumash with a bunch of secular college kids. He opened up his chumash. He started reading. He said, "Tzela Muhammad, and you see a shiksa and you'll take her home." He was thinking, "Oy vey, this is not what I want to learn with these college kids." What am I going to tell them now? See, he says that then it came to him a thought, an unbelievable thought. He says, he looked at them and he said as follows. He said, do you hear what's going on here? Which means the Torah went down to the psyche. Not of Reb Chatzkel Abramsky or Moshe Rabbeinu. Went down to the psyche of a kid, of an American boy, of an English boy, of a European boy, who has a big Yetzirah. And he can't control himself. And what did the Torah say? You know what? You can marry her. It's a perimeter. So he said, my friends, you know what you see from here? That every single mitzvah in the Torah was talking to you with your shortcomings. And the proof is that when you're in a situation where the Torah evaluated that you college kid, can't overcome the Yetzirah, the Torah permitted it. So that's L'lamed al haklal kula yotza. It teaches you that the whole Torah is something you could do. And he says he was more successful with that shit than any of the other shiurim that he gave. It made such an impact on the boys. But it seems that what the Torah is telling us over here is, over here, sure, over here, you can listen to the Yetzirah. We're letting you listen to the Yetzirah. But Chazal seemed to say differently. Seemed to say that the Torah really is telling you to fight the Yetzirah, to go to Keneged the Yetzirah. So some actually ask this kasha. Now Shlomo Kluge actually says that Loidibu Torah Ella Bigalal HaYetzirah, not Keneged the Yetzirah. He says that's really the right way to read it. It's not Keneged the Yetzirah, because Keneged would normally mean to fight the Yetzirah. It's really telling you Loidibu Torah Ella because Bishvil Bigalal that there's such a Yetzirah, the Torah permitted you to go along with it. But I think perhaps we could say a different pshat. Because Rashi continues and then he says, Rabbi Sai, this is not going to be a biased Neman be Yisrael. And he gives us a whole piece. The end is going to be, you're going to hate this woman. He says, Yesiana Bis Avum Nosa, don't think it's going to be a blissful marriage. Don't think that because the Torah permitted it, you're going to be happy. Seifei Liyo Yisoyna. Rashi says you're going to hate her. That's a strong term. He doesn't say seifa, you know, it won't be so gishmak. Liyei soina. He's going to hate her. Shenema. It says afterwards, kisien elish. So curse number one, Rashi tells you, is that you're going to hate this woman. You will absolutely hate her. Curse number two, seifa lahoilid mimena ben seiro mele. The end will be that this the child that will be produced through this union is going to be a ben seiro mele. It's a shrek lecha klolos the Torah gave you. It's terrible. So now I totally don't understand. It's almost a tease. You're basically telling me a tease. You're telling me what the Torah did was the Torah made it mutel. So that, because you're stuck, Nebuch, so we made it muta. But you didn't really, you made it muta and then you threw the book at me. What would be if the Torah would say, you know what? That if you wanna, you've lokachta lokholi yisho. And then, voitsi woisa izikne yigoyu gomu woisa bavonim vomeis. Would you say that the Torah did you a favor? That's basically what you're telling me. You're starting off by saying the Torah here went out of its way because it knew human weaknesses, it knew the human nature, and therefore the Torah went out of its way to say, you know what, we're going to let you do it. And then Rashi says, you know what, but you're going to hate her, and you're going to have a son that's going to be put to death by Klal Yisrael. Wow. What a solution. What an Eitz HaTorah Kamash, Malon. The Torah should have just asked her. Why? Because at least what I would say is, statistically speaking, let's talk statistics. What I would say is, so 70% of the people will control themselves. 80% of the people control themselves. And the 20 guys that fall off the track, so they fall off the track. Why should we have 70% of people living in Gehenim and having a B'nai Seir HaMeira? Very, very modern, the whole thing. And lastly, this is a kasha that we've already went into in the past, this last kasha, which is that it doesn't seem like mishpat. If the guy listened to the psak halacha, why, in fact, is he being penalized? He went against the, it sounds like he went against the spirit. We're telling him, you know, this is not something the Torah really wants you to do. Be'etzim, we don't want you to do this. But we know you're a human being, you have weaknesses. No, we're going to let you do it. So now if he goes and he does it, he's not a pesetzadik. But he's a legal person. He's doing legal. He's not a criminal. He's not a criminal. So if he's not a criminal, why taka does he get this penalty of mamish mothers to live in a hated relationship? I deal with people sometimes that are in an unhealthy relationship. There's no worse situation. There's the worst. I deal with a couple having financial problems and they have givaldic shambas. I tell them, you don't know, count your blessings. Because I deal with people that have all the money in the world, and if there's no shalom bayis, it's a constant state of misery. Misery. So basically, this guy is being, he's being punished to such a level, it's iyuf. He's having iyuf. He's having a hateful marriage, that's what he's living with, and he's having a son that's put to death by Klal Yisrael. Das ist ein jüdischer Nachas. Right? So, why? What did he do to deserve that? He wasn't even over one crime. He didn't even do one thing wrong. He followed what the Torah said. It's true that the Torah only said it because of human weaknesses. It's true. But Lamaisa, based on the human weaknesses, the Torah said, go do it. Like Abchatzko Abramsky seems to be saying. The Torah understood that that people are going to fall into the trap. So therefore the Torah made it ois. It seems to be the Torah made it ois trap. Not a trap. And now that the Torah made it not a trap, now it is a trap. Because you're falling right back into it and you can have a ben tzomer. Doesn't see, what's the mahalach? So in the past I gave a pshat, but even that pshat needs pshat. The pshat that I've given in the past is when you have such a marriage that's based on such a foundation, how can it bear good fruit? La'avdol, well, it's not such a la'avdol because it's similar. You go to Hollywood. I was once reading what the average marriage over there lasts. 6 months. Shana Moifes. If they had a couple that was celebrating a 6th anniversary to one of these two big stars. I know they call them stars, but whatever. Right? Kechovim Shchoirim. And I don't mean that they're black. Now I have to be very careful. I didn't mean black. Lamaise, I just mean that they don't give off light. That's all I meant. They're not Kechovim Hameirim. Lamaise, if they're 6 years, that was like a huge bash. Like, it's unbelievable. It's Ner of Oyem that they married together. 6 years they stayed together. So that was the past how we learned it. But it's still a Tzorach Iyim. That a guy is doing everything that the Torah tells him he should do. He went to his Rav. His Rav gave him the list, the Yafas Torah guidebook. He followed it to a T. And he ends up with such a maise, the Shrek L'Chazach. Still, in other words, even after the pshat that I gave, it still needs clarity. And after we finish tonight, it's still going to need clarity also. But we'll just try to build a little bit on it. So here's what I think we could say as a pshat, maybe, to give us a little more understanding. When Boaz meets up with Ruth, we know that Ruth had tremendous difficulty embracing Klal Yisrael. As I brought down from Vilna Gaon, it says in Ruth that when Naomi saw how much Ruth was struggling to stay with her, she stopped talking to her. So until I saw the Vilna Gaon, I learned it one way, and then the Vilna Gaon enlightened us to learn it a different way. I always understood that to mean that Naomi saw she was stubborn. She discouraged her, as we do to Gerim. And Rus resisted and persisted, and then Naomi gave in. That's how I learned simply. The Gaon says not like that. The Gaon says that when Rus was staying with her, was clinging to her, for Rus dov kabah, it was with great difficulty. There was visible difficulty. It wasn't that Rus was doing this naturally. So he says the word misametz means to struggle. So when Naomi saw Ruth struggling, she realized this must really be something special. Because the Yetzer Hara puts up a fight when it's worth fighting for it. If it's not worth fighting, the Yetzer Hara doesn't put up a fight. Yetzer Hara puts up a fight, that's why every Choshev Ezach has so much Yisnagdash. So much opposition. The better the thing is, the more opposition there is. That's the Koyach of the Yetzer Hara. So that's how the Goyen learns. The Goyen goes so far to say that this should be your guide in life. He says, sometimes you don't know what you're supposed to do. You have a suffix. You don't even know what's the Yetzer Hara and what's the Yetzer Tov. Right? You have two ways in front of you, and you're thinking, which is the wrong and which is the right? So you know what the Goyen says? He says, the path that's more difficult for you, that's the Yetzer Tov. That alone can verify which is the right way. The fact, measure it by its difficulty. If it's difficult, that's the way to go. Like the Gemara says, to help a sinai, chayif liyitzrei odif. That's how you measure it. So we understand that Rus was struggling to go with Naomi because, after all, Rus had no future in Klal Yisrael. She was a woman approaching middle age. She was a Mayavis who, according to the people on the street, she was also lovely b'kohol, impoverished, a pauper. Her shviger is a pauper. What's she doing? She's going to no man's land. We understand that. But then, all of a sudden, the world opens up for her. Boaz is the God Lador. Boaz is not just the God Lador. Boaz is the Osher of the generation. He had it all in one. Wealth, Torah, Gdule, Malchus. I mean, you can't get... Boaz was everything what you could possibly desire. All of a sudden, he becomes an eligible bachelor for her. It's like, who would have thought? That's mamish, the world's opening up for her. It's unbelievable. It's like you would have somebody comes from India, right? Some Indian priest has a daughter, and she comes in, and she marries him. He's a God Lador. Wow. It's unbelievable. What does Boaz tell Ruth? Boaz tells Ruth, "Hey, Tev Chaste Chachin Yosem and Elishim." Boaz tells Ruth, "I am so blown away by the fact that you want to marry me. It's even more Chesed than you had that you did with your Shviger." What? When Ruth went with a Shviger, she was going to a dark hole with no future. Boaz was everything. Boaz was this girl's future. Economically, socially, malchus, I mean, everything. And Boaz tells her, Levilti lecha sacha habachurim. Stam, the whole thing is like mud. Bachurim, which bachurim? They weren't lining up for her. If anybody had a shidduch crisis, roosted. They weren't lining up the streets for this mayavil. So he tells her, this is more, Boaz tells Ruth, this is more kindness than the one that you did it the first time. It's like, what's good? I mean, the words in the psukim are like mind-boggling. I was able to hear from Rav Shach, Zichat Tzadik Levrocha, Pshat in that posuk in Rus. Rav Shach said an interesting thing. He said, a human being has a lot of, you know, yetzaharas, a lot of temptations, challenges. He says, the biggest challenge is when you feel like you don't have a choice, when you're being forced. That's the biggest challenge. When it's not up to you. You can have a huge challenge, but if you feel like it was your decision. The Gemara, this is not a Chiddush, what Rav Shach is saying, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Gogol mitzvah is, Mishayne mitzvah is. The person who keeps the mitzvahs commanded is more than somebody who keeps them is not commanded. Tosfos says, because the mitzvah is doyeg tomid levatal yitzloy. The guy who's commanded, he's fighting with his yitzhah. He's got a war. Right? What's the pshat? The pshat is because when you're forced to do something, and you know how it is, that's the way it is. If you tell somebody, as the kids were growing up by us in the house, Baruch Hashem, we watched them grow and they give us nachas. This was always an issue I used to always tell my wife. She used to always ask me, why the kids, when they're small, they always responded to me. And my wife does much more for the kids than I do. Much more, I have to admit. She's more devoted. She's better in every which way possible. And she said, when I ask the kids, I'm, boom, done. She could say 60 times, Yanku, go, this. She would say, what's your magic? And obviously, the obvious answer is I can't give, because I can't say I'm better to them, because I'm not. She's better to them. I said, there's a little difference of the description, the way I give the order. Or rather, to perfect it, I don't order anything. I said, would you like to do this? Sure. Do it. No. The same thing. The Zobazach. Say, would you like to do it? Perhaps. And they say, Gaitas. Remember, one of our kids, we had to go to a chasana. We had nothing to do with the kid. We couldn't get a babysitter. And the last thing the kid wanted to do was sit in the car for hours to go into the city, sit by the chasana like a dummy, and then sit in the car for hours coming back. You didn't know what to do. It was a little kid. I'm not going to say which kid it was, obviously. A little kid. And my wife is sitting with him, and for 20 minutes, and she's telling him, you got to come. And she says, no, I'm not coming. She says, don't go to chasana. I sat down with the kid. I said, you know what? I have a solution. It's really not. I have an answer what to do with you, but I really rather not do it. You'd be doing him a favor. Please do me a personal favor. Come along. Okay, Ta. I just took away the, you have to do it. Took it away. Okay, no problem. I can come. So Rav Shach said like this. He said when Ruth came with Naomi, that was her choice. She volunteered. She volunteered. She said, you know, I'm going with my shviger. It's the right thing to do. It's the ethical thing to do, my shviger. I love her. She loves me. We're going. We're doing this together. Basha telechi eloch. I'm going to be the champion here. Basha telechi eloch v'sham omul. Says Rav Shach. But when Naomi called over Ruth and said, you know what? You're a Yevoma. Halachically, you have to marry this Boaz. As soon as that happens, you start going, well, I'm marrying this old man. Once I have to do it, I don't want to do it. So Boaz, that's why Boaz said, Levilti lech asachar abachurim. Because as soon as you became mitzvah, you should have started thinking, well, I want to marry who I want to marry. I'm going to marry this old guy. Even though this old guy has everything going for him. It's your key to your future. That's what Rav Shach said. Rav Shach said, his lashon was, Ipcha mistav. Whatever you tell me I have to do with Mustafa, I have to go the other way. He said that was a bigger, Boaz says that was a bigger challenge. To be forced to do something, that's a bigger challenge. That's it. And that sometimes, that challenge is tremendously great. What to say is a shot is like this. When the Torah came here, and the Torah said, Lo yidibur Torah l'kenegad yetzer hara, so Pchatzkel is right. The Torah permitted it because the Torah saw that this, he's right. Chazal tell us like that. There's a tremendous Yetzer Hara. But what the Torah really did was, the Torah wanted to make you into an Einei Mitzvah. The Torah wasn't telling you to marry her. The Torah was saying, you know what? Be a champion. Don't marry her. Decide not to marry her. The Torah, the Eitz of the Torah gave you, the Eitz of Hara, wasn't give in to the Eitz of Hara. The Torah wanted you to go connect the Eitz of Hara. How did the Torah want that you should go connect the Eitz of Hara? By giving you a window of escape. Now with that window of escape, you have the ability to conquer the Eitz of Hara. There's a Sifri. The Sifri says, when you enclose a city, it says you shouldn't enclose it. But Motzo. Not clear what the pasuk means over there. The Sifri says that when the Torah was giving you strategy advice, when you're conquering a city, you should leave one end for the enemy to run away. What's pshat? Because if the enemy has no place to run away, he's going to fight like a behemoth. So the Torah gave you a strategy. Give the enemy an escape route. You give him an escape route, you'll be able to kill him. If you don't go to escape, you're so the Torah, the Pshat is off, does off the Hashi. Loidibra Torah, the Torah wasn't saying, Bishvil Yetzirah, you should give in to the Yetzirah. No! The Torah was saying, we're giving you another tool to fight the Yetzer Hara. And the tool we're giving you to fight the Yetzer Hara is that, you know what, you can marry if you want to. So now you don't have the mitzvah voice. But the Torah really is telling you to conquer the Yetzer Hara. That's what the Torah is telling you to do. In which case, if you have the ability to conquer Yetzer Hara, and the Torah actually gave you the koyach to conquer Yetzer Hara, and the Torah gave a lot of components to make it possible for you to conquer Yetzer Hara. Number one, it gave you a window that you could marry her. Number two, you go through this whole process that makes her more meguna. It's still in all. Even if you have a window, and the Torah gave you a window to fight the Yetzer Hara, and you didn't follow what the Torah said, then you're doomed for disaster. So when Rashi says, Kineged, I want to tell you, the Pshat, Rashi is telling you, this is all tools for how not to marry the Yetzer. And then Seru Moira is another tool the Torah gave you. As you're considering, should I marry her or should I not? Part on the table is Ben Seru Moira. That was another weapon the Torah gave you to fight the Yetzer Hara. That's not a consequence. It's a tool. The Torah gave you all these tools to fight the Yetzer Hara. Number one, it gave you the option to marry her. So once it gave you the option that you're not caged in. Then it told you, you know what? It's going to be a terrible marriage. It's going to be a mitzvah marriage. Now you had everything in your disposal to fight the Yetzer. If in spite of the Torah going, sticking out its hand to you, so now it comes out that in this mitzvah, if you didn't fight the Yetzer here, you could never fight the Yetzer. If here where the Torah bent over, this is the mitzvah where the Torah went out of its way to give you everything you need to fight the Yetzer Hara. It's like the Chofetz Chaim says, by Nila we say, Ato Noisin Yad L'Poishim. He says, why do we say Ato Noisin Yad L'Poishim by Nila? He says, because we want to chop the Jew that he should realize that if he doesn't do tshuva, what he's doing. So the Chofetz Chaim said, he made a marshal. He says, I'm only in a fight with somebody. And you hear on the street, you hear from somebody that the guy's ready to make up with you. You say no. I want you to know, I had a mice like this recently. Mice of Shehoya. You hear the guy, he says, no, he wants to, you say, I'm not making up with him anyway. That's taka chutzpah. Here you have a fight with somebody. The guy lets people know he wants to make peace with you. And you say, no. Okay. Then you can go to the next level. Send him a letter. I want to make peace with you. Then send shluchim, people to his house. Please, I want to make friends. Obviously, the more overturns that you make to him, and he refuses it, it brings up the level to the next degree. But then, says the Chofetz Chaim, there's one level that goes beyond all chutzpah in the world. And that's when the guy walks over to you and he goes, Ari, let's be friends. Then if you don't do that, we're Baruch Hashem, we're very much okay. That is a chutzpah that has no, there's nothing beyond that. I had a person recently. He tried this, he told me, I tried this, I tried to make peace with this person like this, I tried, I sent shluchim, I did everything. I said, there's one thing you still could do. He said, what? I said, go over to the guy, stick out your hand, say, I want to be friends with you. And guess what? The guy hopped his hand. The guy gave shalom. I'd say with a big smile. Gave shalom. And now it's time to talk. So that Chofetz Chaim says, by Nila, we want to bring out that Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov where the Eibush is coming and he's not just giving you an opportunity. He's sticking atonois in yad. He's giving you a hand. And that's the way we learned the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, why you have to do tshuva. Because if you don't do tshuva, the famous kasha, do a mitzvah. Why do you have to do tshuva if you're 50-50? Just do a mitzvah. So we brought a raya from Rabbi Yehuda and the ritual over there in Rosh Hashanah. If a guy doesn't do tshuva during Aseres Mitzvah in Yom Kippur, that alone, that he resists the tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to him, the mitzvah is not going to help you. You're called a merit. You're revolting against our bunch. That's the Lashon HaRitva. You're a revolter. That's the pshat over here. This is the mitzvah where the Torah went out and said, we're giving you all the arsenal possible to fight this Yetzer Hara. Now if you don't, you've shown you've surrendered to the Yetzer Hara. You surrender your life to the Yetzer Hara. You're marrying the Yetzer Hara. Such a thing can't bear fruit. Okay.